Hey there, Admission Auto listeners, and welcome to another episode of the League of Extraordinary Applicants, the podcast where we chat about what it takes to create a winning application in today's super competitive landscape. I'm Cleo Handler.
And I'm Stephen Black. We're your official tour guides for this insider's journey. Each week, we tackle a specific topic, giving insight into each of our Ivy League experiences and the applications that got us there. Cleo, why don't you start us off by telling everyone where you went to college?
So I went to Yale. I graduated in 2012, and I double majored in psychology and theater studies. What about you, Stephen?
I went to Harvard. You know, I think I've heard of your school. It's New Haven Community College. Is that what it's known as, though?
Ha ha ha. They must teach improv at Harvard.
They don't, which is why that joke was so lame. Anyway, I went to Harvard. I graduated in 2007. I obviously did not major in humor or anything like that. I majored in visual and environmental studies with a focus on film theory.
Cool. Well, these past few episodes, we have explored the world of the essay and talked about emotional narrative and rewriting. This week, we're going to discuss another important piece of writing, the letter of recommendation.
Except the difference here is that you don't have to worry about writing it. In fact, chances are you'll probably never be able to read it. So how can you be sure it's good?
In just three easy steps, of course. Number one, understanding why it's important. Number two, selecting the right recommenders. And number three, following up during the process. Let's discuss each one in depth, shall we?
We shall. So the first thing to understand is why the letter of recommendation is so important. You might be saying, well, why don't I just ask my teachers and get them to write it? No, no, no. First, you have to understand why it's important. It's because it's an undervalued piece of the application. It's something that people think it doesn't carry much weight, so I don't really care. And then they also think ADCOMs only care about hearing from me, right? Because it's my application. Wrong. You know, the letter of recommendation, it's a chance for an adult to vouch for you, which is huge.
Absolutely. I mean, everyone is trying to make themselves sound as great as possible on their applications, understandably. So the point of the letter of recommendation is really to show that it's not just you saying that you're amazing because you're biased and you have a limited perspective on these things, but that someone else who is a reliable, intelligent adult, no less, someone with an informed perspective and who has seen lots of other kids in similar situations before also thinks that you're amazing and the best.
These teachers or coaches or mentors, they can put your skills and strengths and weaknesses into perspective. Like Cleo said, they've seen a lot of other students, so they have a broad basis of comparison to compare you with every other student that they've ever interacted with, and that can come through in their recommendation. We here at Admission Auto like to say that the best recommendations follow what's called the 70-30 rule. Now, before I quickly explain this, let me just say there's obviously no way to make sure your teacher follows this because you can't say, hey, you know, hey, teach, I got a 70-30 rule for you. What do you think about this? It's not going to really go down like that. And we'll get to how you should ask them and things like that in a second. But a great recommendation should be 70% stuff that you could say about you. And like Cleo said, the letter of recommendation, you know, shouldn't have a limited perspective. So it should also have 30% of stuff that you wouldn't say or didn't even realize about yourself.
Right. So it's partially about legitimizing everything that you're claiming about yourself. You know, you truly were a student body president and you truly were the best math student in your grade and all of these things. But like Stephen said, it's also partially about bringing some enlightening perspective to the table and showing something about yourself that you may not realize, but that a teacher who has seen many other students like you or not like you in the past can point out. And also, I just want to add that the same rules apply here as with the essay. You want to find someone who can really show, not tell, all these things about you. Someone who knows you really well and can use personal anecdotes and stories to illustrate your personality and the kind of student that you are, instead of just writing, this person is a great student, et cetera, blah, 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 because that's boring and doesn't really add very much.
Yeah, I mean, you're totally right. It's one thing for a teacher to write, Cleo is an amazing student. She works very hard. She's the best. I want to recommend her, rather than, hey, here's some examples of when, you know, what Cleo did. She started this club, you know, which I as a teacher work with her. She, you know, did this, she did that. I mean, you know, you want to show, you want your teachers or your recommenders to be people who will show rather than tell, for sure.
Right. And maybe show examples of, you know, how you interact with the other kids in your class. And if someone was stuck on a problem and you helped them in a really generous way and didn't make fun of them, or, you know, stories like that can really show so much about a person that they wouldn't really be able to write about themselves on a resume. So that's what is key about the letters of recommendation.
Yeah, so those are some do's. And you know, here are some don'ts. Obviously, a don't do, something you should not do, is write the recommendation yourself, or ever have somebody else aside from the teacher, whoever you know you asked, write it. And this is because, you know, we want you to understand how important a genuine recommendation is. It's powerful, it carries weight, you know, for all the reasons we just said. But a disingenuous recommendation can get your application tossed in the trash. And Cleo, why don't you tell us why adcoms, you know, are experts at spotting disingenuous recommendations?
Right. Okay. Well, they're reading hundreds of these every single day, so it becomes pretty clear when an application doesn't really have letters of recommendation that were written by the people the student claims. And some tips there are that they are overly general. You know, this person actually doesn't really know you that well. Another one is that it's written in your voice. It's the same exact tone as your essay. It sounds like a high school kid, not a 50-year-old history teacher.
Yeah, that's a huge red flag, of course.
Yeah, and the last one, this applies more for international students, but if it's cleaned up so much that the language is more perfect than would be believable for a teacher in China or something, that's also another red flag that it's not actually legit.
We actually, you know, at Admissionado, we see it happens probably a lot more frequently with foreign applicants, where they say, look, you know, my teacher doesn't want to write this letter of recommendation. They told me to just write it. And you know, our biggest tip is no, like, don't do that. If your teacher doesn't want to write it, then they're not the right person, you know, to write your letter of recommendation. Like, you know, whoever you ask has to be the one who ultimately writes it. And the other problem a lot of foreign students run into is they say, hey, you know, my teacher doesn't speak English. And that's okay. You know, have them write it in their native language, and then you get it translated. And actually, you know, I've heard this from admissions officers themselves, is they say, you know, they appreciate when a student sends in, you know, say it's written in Mandarin, and you know, they have a copy in Mandarin and then a translated copy in English. Because if you're applying to also to like some of these top tier universities, like the Ivy League, you know, they have people who, you know, can speak multiple languages, you know, from across the world. That's not to say you should only submit the language in, or submit the recommendation in that language. Of course, you should also submit it in English too. But you know, you should submit it in both languages if your teacher doesn't have a strong command of English.
Yeah, I mean, what better way to prove that it's authentic than to actually have the other copy of it? So that's a great idea.
Exactly, yeah.
So I think we are moving on to our second point today, which is selecting the right recommenders. This is obviously a key element. And I just want to say it's really important to select the right people. These can be teachers, mentors, coaches, bosses, etc. Because these are the people who are going to vouch for you. These are the people who can make you really, really shine and stand out from the rest of your peers, or can make you just kind of blend in like everyone else, be really general, really boring. So this is really a decision not to take lightly, but to think about very seriously.
Yeah, exactly. And we like to say this is the most important part of the letter of recommendation process, because you've got to get it right. You've got to figure out who are the teachers you're going to ask. The most common mistake that we see is, you've got this teacher who taught you, AP economics, and he or she is just absolutely brilliant. Your mind was expanded by this class, in ways you hadn't even imagined. But problem is that this teacher doesn't really know you, but you just think, hey, because they're so brilliant and they're very eloquent, they'll write a good recommendation. That's not always the case. A better idea is selecting the teacher who knows you best, the one who you worked with at an after school club, the one who you feel comfortable chatting with, the one who, you can go to with your problems, who you can say, hey, look, this just happened and I'd like some friendly advice. What do you think? That's the teacher who knows you, who knows you best, not the one who's just brilliant and eloquent and, has never said more than 5 words to you.
Right. You should choose people who really know you well, who have known you for a while, and hopefully who know you in different contexts. That could be, different contexts for one person. That could be like a history teacher you've had for 3 different years, maybe 7th grade world history, 10th grade AP Euro, senior year AP US. That is an awesome person to ask. But not only that, but also variety within the different recommenders. If you have this history teacher, you also might want something kind of different, maybe a coach for a team you play on outside of school in a very serious way. Maybe a professor from a different subject, or mentor or advisor who comes from a different field. You want to really strive for depth of knowledge and variety.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, you don't want to go with, your math teachers from freshman, sophomore, and junior year. I mean, that doesn't provide much of a variety. The other thing I want to say also is I think Cleo makes a good point for variety, but another thing that a lot of people sometimes don't consider is if you've had a part-time job in high school that's been kind of like long-term, let's say you've been working at a restaurant since freshman year to earn some extra cash, your boss at that restaurant, can probably say some pretty good things about your character. Of course, I mean, as long as you haven't been spitting in people's food, right? So, you want to make sure you've been doing a good job, obviously. I'm not telling you to get a recommendation from a boss who, put X-lax in his coffee. That's not a good idea. Right. But, someone who has seen you in a different environment. And I think that goes along with what you're saying for diversity. And I think a boss is someone that students sometimes don't really consider. But if it's the right sort of situation, it could make for a great recommendation.
Absolutely. And on that note, I want to add, this might be obvious, but I just want to say it. You have to choose people who like you and who want to help.
Yeah,
obviously,
exactly.
If they're reluctant to recommend you for whatever reason, that's not going to be the kind of recommendation that you want. Don't push them. Be grateful that they told you now before writing something, less than stellar.
Yeah, exactly. It's like getting into like a bad relationship. You don't want to be in a relationship with someone who hates you. And so this is a relationship on like a micro level. If the chances are, if this person likes you and they have some stake in your success, then they're going to write you a good recommendation because they actually care about you and care about you succeeding in the future. If this person doesn't like you or doesn't totally care for you, or is maybe a bit narcissistic or give you a bit of the cold shoulder when you first asked him or her to write your recommendation, I mean, move on. Like that's not the right one to go with.
Absolutely. I would also say, in order to not offend people or get them, if you want them to be as likely as possible to say yes, ask them early. because teachers get really swamped as application deadlines approach. And if you emailed, you know, your favorite teacher who you know is going to be everyone's favorite teacher, at the end of the summer maybe, or approached him or her during like the, you know, the first month of school, that's going to be so much better than someone running up to them like, you know, around Thanksgiving saying like, please write this for me, it's due next week. So
yeah, totally. And remember that this is, you are asking a lot of them. Like, this is something that a good recommendation is going to take them some time to write. And remember, they're teachers, they're busy, they have things to do. And so, yeah, ask early. Also, the final point I want to make here is that the way you ask them is important. You know, you shouldn't be afraid. That's obviously one extreme. But the other extreme is that you're a total jerk. You know, you give them a, hey, you know, you're gonna do this for me, right? Like, I got A's in AP Calc all last year. So you love me, right? So just do it. And that's, you know, that's not the way you want to approach them. Be cordial and be grateful. You know, they're doing something that has a stake in your future. And so you really just have to show some humility here and really, you know, think about how you approach it.
Absolutely. And the last thing I want to add on this topic is that obviously selecting the right recommenders is important, and selecting the right number of recommenders is key. Make sure you check on the specific rules of each school, but most tend to ask for 2 to 3. Some may allow you to send one more. Do whatever it is that they ask you for. Don't overload them or completely ignore their requests, because you really want to show how awesome you are and you have 7 people who are willing to write letters for you. That's great. You have a lot to choose from, but believe me, don't send all 7. That will only seem arrogant and pushy and like you can't follow rules. So that is not a positive way to showcase yourself.
Yeah, and just to go off of that really quickly, I think the number that you start with should be greater. The number of people that you have, you know, teed up ready to ask should be greater than however many is the maximum that you need. So if, you know, because chances are not everybody's going to say yes, or not everybody's going to be able to do it. So if you have to get 3 recommendations for one school, you know, first of all, like Cleo said, don't send in any more or less than 3. But, you know, figure on asking 5 or 6 teachers and, you know, obviously go with your best ones first. So if they say yes, you know, you've got 3 immediately lined up. But, you know, think about that. Think about that not everyone's going to say yes, or not everyone's going to be able to do it. So you really have to plan ahead accordingly there.
Yeah.
Cool. So we are on the final topic of this podcast, which is following up. Now, most people usually forget to follow up, which can have 1 of 2 bad reactions. It could sour relations with the recommender. You know, your teacher could say, oh, you know, Jimmy is not asking me about this at all. You know, he's not telling me about deadlines. That's kind of irresponsible. Or on the other side of the coin, it could allow them to forget about the recommendation. It's like, okay, teachers are busy, so they might just completely forget and it might slip their mind if you don't follow up.
Yeah, absolutely. One specific thing that I remember getting as a tip in high school that really was just a sweet gesture was to find out the rules about the specific way that the school wants you to send the letters. Sometimes, usually, they ask the teachers to send them. And then give your teachers stamped envelopes with the school names and addresses written on them, so they don't have to look that stuff up. They can just slip their letters in, mail them, and easily be done with it. You want to make this process as convenient for them as possible.
Yeah, and to sort of go off of that, because, you know, I think right now you guys will realize that Cleo and I are ancient. We're extremely old. Because, you know, we had to use snail mail to send in our recommendations, which some schools still do. And if you're applying to a school that says, hey, we want this all online, make sure you give your teacher all the URL info, you know, the URL where they have to go, what they have to submit, you know, give them a little quick instructions on how to do it also, because, hey, look, your teachers might not know how to use the internet. Just kidding, kind of.
Right. And don't make fun of them for that. Be
Yeah.
courteous and appreciative, and they're really, really helping you out here. So just be gracious about it and do whatever you can to help. Always offer, is there anything I can do for you? Please let me know. Just, pretty obvious stuff, but it goes a long way.
Yeah, I mean your 85-year-old stats AP teacher could be a grumpy guy, and I mean, but if you figure that they're gonna write that he's gonna write you a great recommendation, you should give them some directions as well. And the other thing is, don't be annoying. You want to maybe check in every 2 to 3 weeks, be nice, gently remind them of their deadlines. And because here's the thing, if you're annoying as they're writing it and you're saying like, oh, Mr. Smith, where's that letter of recommendation? It's the end of September already, and November 1st is the early action deadline. That's going to stick out in their mind. And remember, they're writing your letter of recommendation like at that time. And if you're being
Right.
annoying, that's going to leave a horrible impression on their mind in their mind.
Yeah, that is definitely something you want to avoid.
Yeah, and the other thing to do is, as the deadline approaches, if the letter of recommendation, if it hasn't been submitted, make your gentle reminders a little more frequent, but stay gentle with it. Other thing you can do is, check the status of your application on the college or university websites, especially if it's submitted online. The website will let you know if the recommendation has been submitted or not.
Right. And also, hopefully these are people who you're seeing on a regular basis, so you can just check in with them. They might mention it to you, say like, "Oh, I just sent off your recommendation. Good luck." Hopefully people will keep you in the loop.
Yeah, and the final thing I want to close with here is that when it's all over, and this is this is might show our age once again, but our advice here is to write thank you notes, not thank you emails, not thank you Facebook messages. We know how the kids love the Facebook these days, but not something impersonal. Write them out. I mean, I know the last time most students probably ever like held a pen was elementary school because everything's on computers now. Boy, I mean, I really just am sounding older and older as this podcast goes on. I'm gonna just picture me with a cane hobbling along and like shaking my finger in your face as I say this. But yeah, write thank you notes. Write them out. You'd be surprised how nice of a gesture a handwritten note is. And it'll take you what, all of, 5 minutes. And this teacher did a lot for you, and it's the least that you can do for them. I mean, they put themselves out there, and I think just this nice little gesture of, hey, I really, really appreciate that this is just the way to go.
Yeah, it's really just like an old world courtesy that really goes a long way. And honestly, it probably wouldn't hurt to throw in some chocolate or something if you wanted to.
Yeah, exactly. A nice like little get a nice little gift, something like that. Like, don't go over the top. No need to buy them like an iPad, but like,
Right.
yeah, I think Cleo's totally right. It's just such a nice and courteous gesture. I mean, it's a way to show that you're thankful on a personal level, rather than just writing them some casual text message that's filled with emoticons.
Right. On that note, I think that pretty much sums it up for this week. Stephen, is there anything you want to add before I go into a recap?
Nope, let's get to it. I think we covered it all.
All right, guys. So the key three things that you must do regarding letters of recommendation are: one, recognize the importance of the letter of recommendation; number two, select the right recommenders; and number three, always follow up.
So now that you've mastered the essay and you're an authority on recommendations after listening to this podcast, it's time to write those applications. But you may still be wondering, where do I apply and how can I give myself the best chance at acceptance? So next week we'll cover some basic application mechanics, early versus regular decisions, statistics of acceptance, and how to create your school list.
We want to thank you all for joining us on this episode of the League of Extraordinary Applicants. We hope that our advice helps you get that much closer to achieving application success.
Please don't hesitate to email us with any questions, and we'll make sure to answer as many as we can in future episodes. Hit us up at podcast@admissionauto.com.
We're excited to hear from you. Questions, comments, feedback, whatever's on your mind. All right, Stephen, that's all for this week.
Join Cleo and me next time for another installment of the League of Extraordinary Applicants.